I'm Heather Anderson. Let's get started on our top story. This is from GoBankingRates.com. I'm a financial planner. Why should I never buy a house in these six cities? By Brooke Barley, LA-based writer. Let's check it out here. She says, buying a home can be a very solid investment and amass wealth for generations. Very true, Brooke. The flip side, there's a flip side, is that some cities have real estate markets that make it very hard or impossible to come out on top financially. Well, Brooke, what do you mean by that? Everything from low demand population declines can make a city not desirable to real estate investors. Go Banking Rates reached out to finance experts to get their take on worst cities to buy homes in. So looks like we have a CPA here saying, hey, stay away from San Francisco, okay? He's saying, look, prices are too high and demand is not what it used to be. Plus, tax structure basically sucks. New York. That was really flat. Like San Francisco, the Big Apple has seen population go down since the pandemic. But do you ever think New York is not going to be a place people want to own real estate? It's a global city. One of the global cities, actually. It's high property tax rates, growth in terms of people and high maintenance costs. It's difficult to support and buy unless it's purely a lifestyle decision. Los Angeles, the city of angels, he said, hey, you know what? The prices are just too expensive. It's 800 grand up there and you're never going to get a good rental return. Yeah, probably right. But what could you get? Equity? Chicago, Illinois. He said, look, property taxes are high in Chicago, okay? Because they do not have a state income tax. And when you don't have a state income tax, you always have higher property taxes. I will say in Florida, they are, in my opinion, low, and there's no state income tax. And you get like great school options out there too. It's great. But then you have the downside of that, which we're going to talk about in a minute when we get to Miami. But I'm just curious, what are the residential property taxes in Chicago? Let's check it out here. So I just wanted to know, what are they? Okay. And this one said, okay, it's about 2 point Cook County, which includes Chicago, has an average effective property tax rate of approximately 2.023%. So I don't know exactly where Cook County is, but it looks like it's in Chicago. Maybe it's a main county in Chicago area. The average Chicago home is valued at $303,000. Okay. And the median home is $374,000, which we're going to get into what average and median means in our next video. But that is, basically average means you take the number of units and divide it by. So if you have five calculations, you add them up, divide it by five, that's the average. If you have a median, it's the middle one. If there's two in the middle, if you have five, so that would be, that's an odd number. So that would be actually, that would be the third one is the median price. But if we want to know what the average of that is, like compared to the U.S. average, or how that compares, well, look at that. The median home price in the U.S. was 416, while the average was 503. So Chicago is still a lesser market when we're looking at a super high level here. Value-wise, Chicago's cheaper, okay? But then you have a higher tax rate, I guess, because you don't have a state income tax, but still 2%. Pretty low in compared to some of our markets here in Dallas. So I don't know, Brooke. I don't know. Miami, Florida, one of the people they interviewed is saying, hey, look, flood insurance keeps going up. So maybe that's the case down there. I've only heard anecdotal comments about that flood insurance. And then Austin, Texas, good old Austin, Texas, which is a very interesting city here in our Texas market. But it says, hey, look, big property tax load in Austin too. Let's look and see what that puppy is. The average property tax in Austin, Texas vary depending on the location within the city and the value of the property. Here's a general overview. So we're looking for, it says 1.63% on average for just Austin. Different market areas and metropolitan areas and cities within the Austin Metroplex are going to vary. But just to give you an idea, this is a quick AI search to kind of give you perspective. So is that a lot? Is it not a lot? If the tenant covers it, is that not okay? I don't know. Anyway, so you got to take these articles with a grain of salt. I don't know about you, but I would own a property in every single one of those markets if I could. All right, let's check out this guy, Mike and Bo. He got $15,000 for making a phone call. He's talking about this kid. Let's check out and see how this kid got $15,000 for a phone call.
We made $100,000 because this kid made a phone call. This is Hayden. I don't even know the kid. But he comes in, he hangs out in our office, and he goes, hey, can I start making phone calls? All right, we give him to Zach, give him to a couple people. Hey, start making phone calls. This kid, he's not that bright. He hangs out here, he eats all of our snacks. I wrote him a check last week, was it?
Yep.
For how much?
$10,000.
$10,000. The next thing I know, I see some social media and he's covered himself with $100 bills. I don't even know his parents. I don't even know if you're allowed to give a kid $10,000. But I wrote him a check for $10,000. The next thing I know, he's covered in $100 bills. I don't know why he even cashed it. You don't carry cash around. I don't even know where the money's at. What have you spent it on?
I put it towards my truck.
That wasn't the first check, right?
Mm-mm.
You got another check before that.
Yep. $5,000.
$5,000. And so, hey, I don't have the $500,000 I want to get in real estate. This 16-year-old kid gets on the phone and starts making a couple stupid phone calls, probably stuttering, doesn't sound that good, but he hands the phone to us. What property did you just get paid on?
It was a $4.
How did you find it?
I was in the CRM that I got provided with. I just called a number, asked if they were interested in a year-end offer, handed it to Zach, and it all good from there.
So literally, you find a deal, you don't know what to say, you've got someone that wants to close on it. How much money did you have to invest in it?
Yeah, none.
So he didn't have any money, but he's in the real estate game, and he's getting paid. I don't even know his parents. Like I said, I don't even know you. But he's making money. He reminds me of me, except for I had a mullet and was better looking. It doesn't take a lot to figure out real estate. If you can communicate, obviously he's a good kid, and I'm just kidding around here. He's a good kid and he can communicate and he's dedicated. He gets good grades. He comes in here and he also, what, you play golf or something?
Baseball.
Baseball, golf, whatever. He plays a sport also. And he's got time to come in here a couple hours at a time, right?
Yep.
And he's putting some time in and he's closing deals on real estate and we're coaching him up. He's learning things that he's going to have for the rest of his life and he's making money. There's so many ways to make money in real estate. Don't be afraid to call people and go, hey, would you be willing to take an offer? The deal that he made $10,000. I think we made $100,000 on it.
Yep, we made $100,000.
We made $100,000 because this kid made a phone call.
So what does that mean? Let's check out and see what the society over here thinks it means in our comments. This guy, Jacob, said, hey, let me get into your CRM and I'll make the calls. And by the way, CRM stands for Customer Relationship Management. Basically, it's a database of some sort. Typically, it's in the cloud. Like you might have heard of a company, Salesforce is a really popular one, very, very good one, that allows salespeople that are in the high volume calling or any kind of sales business, really. Most people in sales have a CRM. It's just an organizational tool that helps them stay in their database and know who they spoke to and what they talked about and all that. So, that's what Jacob's saying. Okay, give me the database and I'll call them and then I'll get those results. But is the gold in the database is Jacob's point. Can you do this by yourself with or without these people? Let's see. This person wants some info. This guy wants info. See some more comments here. More info. We want info, info, info. We need communication. What's this cost? Do you have to pay for the program or typical questions? Give me info. A lot of people want to know how to do this. Well, you know what? Mike and Bo can tell you. I know. My gut is it's called a wholesale, basically, is what's happening here. Is this kid, this young man, doesn't have the infrastructure in the business and the experience and the capital, the money, the dough, to do the deal. So what he does is he uses his time to call, to smile and dial, to call, to door knock, to put signs out, to find prospective sellers, typically distressed, typically in markets that you can't sell on an open market. Not always, but the case. So that's how those deals get done. That's how this happened most likely. So that's a little insight into what that means and what I guess this guy, maybe Mike or Bo, is talking about here. And here's another one from faster freedom. He's talking about a live masterclass Wednesday at 7, how to buy 5 rentals without any money down is what he's saying. How to buy 5 rentals in 2025 without your own money.
If you want to buy 5 rental properties just like this in 2025 without using any of your own money that will make you a multimillionaire in the next few years, all you have to do is click on the link below. I'm giving away a live free masterclass where I'm going to go over the blueprint of exactly how to do this. I'm going to walk through the exact steps that you need to do to buy 5 of these things in 2025 without using any of your own money. Make sure to click on the link below and make 2025 the best year of your life. If you want to buy...
Yeah, I like that. Let's make the 2025 the best year of our life. And then let's do it again in 26 and 27 every year, better and better. Let's see what everyone's saying. This guy's saying, hey, buy my house. Make me an offer. You know, these people want to know what's going on. Where's the class? Stupid real estate. It is not a banana. I don't know what that means. No money, but you need good credit and collateral. Maybe not. To me, my gut is this is similar to that last video we just watched. This is a wholesale type of deal where you find distressed assets, maybe that already have equity, or people are delinquent on their homes, or this could be tax deals or subject twos where you're just taking over payments and trying to get the equity, mortgage resolved, subject to deals. And that could be that, but again, it's finding those deals that would be similar to a strategy that they're using to find these off-market, behind-the-scene, pre-foreclosure, distressed deals. And that takes a lot of digging. And now, why would anybody, you know, sell, again, off-market? I already mentioned a couple of reasons, but another reason could be because of these reasons.
So most people think owning real estate is passive income, but let me show you what could happen to you. So I had a client here that had an entire sewer system corrode out and they had to replace it all. So they had to dig out the bathroom floor, go down into the ground, open it up, and the bathroom shared a wall with the kitchen. So he had to remove all the kitchen appliances, go down in the floor in the kitchen, rip out all the dirt, tear out all the sewer line, and he found out that the water lines were old too, so they're gonna have to replace the water lines also. They're made out of some type of metal. And when he went in the ground, you see, you never know what to expect. He's got cinder block under the slab. I've never seen that. Things pop up like this in older construction. So these are some of the unexpected things that pop up when you're a landlord.
Oh boy. Wow, Chris Haskins, ooh, no bueno. Thanks for sharing that horror story, but don't let these horror stories deter you, okay? Everybody wants to get rich quick, but sometimes you gotta take a little risk like that to get rich slow. You have a 99% chance of getting rich slow and a 1% chance of getting rich quick, but look at what Grant Cardone says about the mindset of the masses wanting to get rich slow and only having a 1% chance of doing it.
What do you think this country spends on lottery tickets a year?
I'll say $10
billion. $105 billion. That is more money than every sporting event, every music download, every live concert. People want to win something, right? I want to get lucky, but you're not going to get lucky. What do you think this country...
Oh boy. Where do you fall into that bucket? Get rich quick? Or get rich slow, 99% chance. You can get rich slow, 99% chance. Well, might
every have, homeowner
might
has
have a little bit of a
so most people
risk, but that's okay. You can learn how to deal with that risk. Okay, on our next story from USA Today, why more Americans are turning to self-directed IRAs for real estate and alternative investments? A self-directed IRA, what is that? Tyler Shepard, thank you for sharing this. More and more Americans are turning to self-directed IRAs, SDIRAs, as economic volatility and inflation fears challenge traditional retirement strategies. Unlike standard IRAs, where investors are largely limited to stocks, mutual funds, and bonds, self-directed IRAs allow for a broader range of assets, including real estate, private loans, and even cryptocurrencies. I bet you were wondering, why am I talking about IRAs? Well, because self-directed IRAs allow you to invest in rental property. This shift is a larger trend toward portfolio diversification and hands-on control over retirement savings. That's the camp I'm in. So how do you set one of those up? Well, there's a company here called UDirect IRA Services. That's just one example. Let's click on them and check them out. Here's their website, and they have a little video that explains what they do. Let's take a look.
What UDirect does is we help people to take their retirement savings and move it into a self-directed IRA account so that they can build their financial future outside of Wall Street. I really don't think that people understand all the options that are available to them when it comes to retirement investing, because most of us are doing our job. You know, we're busy with our life, our children, our family, and we're not experts in retirement investing. So many people tell us that self-directed IRAs are like the best kept secret. How did I not know this? You can invest your IRA, your retirement funds into, for example, a house. Renters move into that house and pay your IRA the rent. And as a result, you give yourself the opportunity to build your retirement nest egg so that you have a happy and prosperous retirement. I've been helping people self-direct their IRAs for over 15 years. I sit on the board of directors for the Retirement Industry Trust Association, which is so rewarding because it gives me an opportunity to have input on the legislative issues that impact our industry. Getting started with a self-directed IRA, that can be as easy as 1, 2, 3. Open, fund, invest. Open an account, you fill out some forms. Funding an account, transfer, contribute, or do a rollover. When it comes to investing, UDirect is going to reach out to you, review the documents, and then have those funds dispersed as UDirect. The reason why UDirect is really ideal for high dollar accounts is because we have a flat fee, regardless of the number of assets and regardless of their value. My vision for our account holders is that they have a retirement that they're really proud of, and they understand how it works, and they've been able to build their retirement, their financial future by themselves. We would love to help you to start setting up a self-directed IRA account and building your future.
So I would agree with her that a lot of people don't know about these. Even in my own career, I've honestly never dealt with anybody that's ever done one of these, but I think it's a really cool tool that you could look into if you find the market is not the place you want your money to go. And custodian, this is an example of a custodian. These custodians are financial institutions like a bank or a trust company that holds and administers these assets within a self-directed IRA. You know the names of the custodians / companies that hold your IRAs, Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs, possibly even 401ks. I don't have a lot of experience with those because I've always worked for myself, but that's like Vanguard, Fidelity, those companies, Magellan, that you know of, those are, or Janus, I guess, those ones are like mainstream custodian holders for those. But self-directed IRAs, those are kind of companies you might not know so much about, like this Madison Trust Company, Equity Trust, the one, the company that we just looked at, Retirement Industry Trust Association, I guess that's a resource, okay? Auto IRA, okay? So anyway, you can take a look at that, and there's stuff, this stuff can get exciting because look, there's three categories that Madison Trust Company kind of denotes here. The self-directed IRA, all transactions go through a self-directed IRA custodian, best for investments with fewer transactions, such as metals, private placements, or promissory notes, which that's a whole new fun world, this promissory note world, for real estate investing, but we're not going to get into that today. Self-directed IRA LLC, place transactions through a designated IRA LLC checking account. Best for transaction-heavy investments such as rental property or fix and flip, offers multi-member investing. And then you have a trust. We talked about a trust on our last rental property news, and that's where you place transactions through a designated IRA trust checking account. Best for transactions-heavy investments such as rental property also or fix and flips. No state fees or reporting requirements. So it's a really neat new space that you can decide and look into and do some research on if you find that's a pathway you're interested in. All right, this story comes out of our friends across the pond in Britain from the Standard, but we can relate, okay? This is a study. Landlords reveal their most costly mistakes with rental properties. A survey of 1,000 landlords found regrets expressed by landlords around buying, selling, and repair costs. A lot of our job as real estate agents and brokers that specialize, especially in investing and working with investors, is psychology, the psychology of letting go of our past mistakes, regrets, disappointments, expectations that didn't go well, and just resetting. So take this article with a grain of salt. That's why it's on our news program this evening, because I just want you to know we all have them. But the key is, it's not about a regret, it's about a lesson. So reframe that word. We all have things we wish we would do differently in life. But it's okay, because remember, the key to getting ahead is getting started. And how do you know what you don't know? And if you have a 99% chance of getting rich slow, which you do, then the key is just don't give up and play the long game. And with that, you learn lessons. So it says, nearly a fifth, 19% of buy-to-let landlords, that's what they call it over there, by the way, in the UK, buy-to-let, we call it rental over here, regretted how much they had spent on renovations that had not increased the value of the property or increased their rental returns. Yes, I agree with that. I think about that kind of stuff all the time, and it's always a quandary. Now, we always like to know the source of our surveys. This says the census-wide survey of 1,000 landlords across the UK to ask about their most costly mistakes. So I don't know what census-wide survey, and I don't know how the survey was given. And was it just a checkbox, and was it a mail out? And I don't know. Who knows? How long did it take? So just, again, you've got to take these surveys with a grain of salt. These are just people based on subjective feelings, okay? Don't let it shape how you move forward. You can use it as a tool and learn from it, but don't use it as a Bible. It's definitely not that, in my opinion. So 15% of our landlords made costly errors by purchasing properties in the wrong location. Some saying they focused on areas providing low returns. Meanwhile, 15% regretted not ensuring they had a financial safety net or appropriate insurance. 13% said they had taken on too much debt. That's a real thing. So that is a survey that we all have those, but let's just read them right now as we go into our next slide. Because in order to prepare for our bright futures, we must first learn from the past. And this story, I hope, uplifts you as much as it does me, because the underdog always has a story of victory in every sect and time in society. And why couldn't you be that underdog, like Secretariat in May 5th, 1973?
Secretariat is in the center of the racetrack and driving. Jackie Green now drops back. Coming on a bit is Forgo, our native on the outside. Now and they're in the stretch. It's Secretariat. Secretariat on the outside to take the lead. Jam holding in second. It's Secretariat moving away. He has it by 2.5. Jam, then on the outside, our native. At the wire, it's going to be Secretariat. He wins it by 2 lengths. Jam is second. Secretariat is in the center of the...
Secretariat went on to win the Triple Crown as a victor, and nobody thought he could, except the one who believed in him, his owner. And trust me, if you haven't seen this movie, it's worth a watch. As we end this session, let's take a look at this beautiful trailer to a beautiful movie.
Frenzied excitement, he eats up the ground. He paws fiercely, rejoicing in his strength, and charges into the fray, afraid of nothing. When the trumpet sounds,
our father's farm has been losing money for years. To run a horse breeding operation, you need a certain touch. And you're a housewife.
I feel like I could make something work.
This is a gentleman's club, miss.
I need a good trainer just to get things stabilized.
You need a Lucian Lauren. Dresses like Superfly. He's trying to retire.
I'm tired of babysitting half-ton animals who are stubborn as their owners are. Any other questions? How much did you spend on that hat?
How would you like to see a horse being born?
Have you ever seen
what?
A colt stand up that fast?
Well, Mr. Lauren, what do you think?
I think he eats too much. He lays against the back of that starting gate like he's in the Caribbean.
Secretariat is not afraid, and neither am I.
Horse racing is unforgiving for housewives.
It's like every other multi-million dollar gamble we housewives make every day. All right, then. Let's show them what you're made of.
We're out of time. We need $6 million.
We just lost a race that we could not afford to lose.
You're guaranteeing that this horse is going to win the Triple Crown. Three races, three states, in just 5 weeks. Hasn't been done in 25 years.
You're that stubborn.
I'm that right.
She scares me.
Good.
Hey, there's Mom.
Now that you've gotten their attention,
every owner, every trainer, every jockey out there is going to be trying to bring us down.
This is about life being ahead of you, and you run at it.
You're about to see something that you ain't never seen before.
Dear friend, I hope you run at your life. Trust me, it's absolutely worth running for.